Okay, thank you. I'm Alex. I'm a software engineer for Freedom of the Press Foundation. I'm going to talk today about the subject of reproducible images. And I wanted to do something before I even started up the thing of this talk. How many people here have built a reproducible image ever? Can I see a raise of hands? Yay! And keep your hands up if you keep monitoring them ever since. Yay, you're my dude. Okay, so this talk will be about like why the rest of the people who didn't raise their hands should care about the subject of reproducible images. We're going to discuss how you can build one. Maybe we'll also offer some tools around that. And then we'll see, we'll go just a step beyond, and we'll see what do we need besides building this image and reproducing it once. So I assume that if you're interested in reproducible builds, you have some sort of trust issues. My trust issues are the fact that we're building an application in Freedom of the Press Foundation. It's called Danger Zone. And this application is used to sanitize untrusted documents with containers. This application is supposed to be used by inexperienced users, journalists, activists, whistleblowers, and therefore it has to be auto-updated, so we just point at the latest, there's no way to point at a specific digest. And both officially and unofficially, we kind of know that our application is used in within tip lines of major newsrooms. So you can understand that we are a bit frightened of what we serve to the users. What are our concerns? We continuously build our images in GitHub Actions. GitHub is a US company. I'm not sure if we will trust this type of thing for activists and whistleblowers at this time and age. And even if we did, the rest of the users need to be able to verify that what they get is what they what's currently built by the tip of our main branch. So why we care that much about reproducibility and why you may care as well? Because A, people can audit the end result easily. Because people can audit the end result, people can also, backdoors can be detected very easily as well. And we do make some checks out of band too. And because those things happen, then my laptop, my hardware keys that I'm using to sign the images, the CI pipelines that we're using, are not a viable target. So this gives us a peace of mind. And that's why we have taken the last year to make our container image bit for bit reproducible. For those who don't know what reproducibility means, in this, at least with regards to container images, it's basically if you have like the build environment with all the files that you need to build this image, if you have a Docker file and if you have a build command, it should be able to create bit for bit the same image if you run it now, 5 minutes later, 1 hour later, 1 year later. So let's see how we can create a reproducible image. Basically, if you take a look at the documentation, you'll see that you need to set a source date epoch and pass some sort of rewrite timestamps flag, which will be used to set the timestamps of the image layers to that epoch you specified. And you can see here that this is a way Docker and behind the scenes BuildKit and Podman do this. Now, once you have, as you know, the commands you need to use, let's assume that you try to create an image that is reproducible. Is this image reproducible, by the way? No. No way at all. And it's easy to see if you just rebuild it twice. But that's not the interesting thing. Most of you probably know why it's not reproducible. What's interesting is how can you test, how can you understand why those two images differ? What's the difference between those hashes? You do see there's a difference, but why is that? And whenever I'm faced with something like this, there is a very helpful project that offers some tooling around reproducibility and containers. It's the Reproducible Containers Project. I'm not affiliated with them, but it has been really cool to use. And I'm going to show you some tools from this project. First is the DeepOCI tool, which you can pass it two images, and you can also pass that you want to check just the file contents, and then you want to, for instance, dump just the differences in a file. And if you run this for this example that I gave you, you will see that the differences are just some apt files. And we can further dig into that by because we dumped the contents by doing the a diff of those files and seeing that the difference here is that the somehow in the apt file, in the log file, the host clock has been captured in it. So the source date epoch that we used before is not a panacea for everything. You still need to do some stuff in order to make your image reproducible. And one may naively say, okay, let's just remove the logs. But that's not the full story because where did we install GCC from? We installed it actually, even though it was a timestamp, there was a tag for this container image, we installed it from the main Debian repos. And this means that it can change at any time. So the solution to create a reproducible, at least Debian image, is to use the snapshot repos, point them to something that aligns with your source date epoch, and then remove caches. And that's the second helper from this reproducible containers project that is very useful, which does this boilerplate stuff for us. And because you get stuff from the snapshot repos and you know that it's standard, it's sometimes easier to cache and to reduce the load in the snapshot servers because they need the bandwidth. So on the left, we can see the original image we proposed, which is not reproducible. And here's the a bit more verbose thing, unfortunately. But this is the more reproducible thing on the right. And if you run this, the digest should always be that one. So we saw how we can build a reproducible image. But what can we do after that? And also, that image that I show you is like a two-line Dockerfile. For production images, most likely, it's a much, much more complex image. And there are many more sources of non-determinism. We have been beaten when converting our own image from various stuff. In order to make it fully reproducible, we had to build it and across different runtimes. We had to build it and across different days. And why I'm using the days thing, because while failing and debugging and finding stuff, I came across like a pretty simple example to understand if the Docker file I'm seeing can be reproduced or not. And here's a pretty simple command. You just, lots of Docker files have it. You add a user and in order to run in a less privileged user your application. So this, whichever Docker file has something like this, unless the person who wrote that really knows what they're doing, will be reproducible in 5 minutes from now. It will be in one hour from now. It won't be in 1 day from now. And why is that? Because whenever you create you add a user in Etsy Shadow, the Unix epoch since you create that user is added there. So the reproducible variant is to do this add user change thing. At least that's what we found. I have seen very little examples of people doing that, which gives me the impression that there are very, very few images that are actually reproducible out there. So we have been bit by so many things. We wanted some sanity checks in order to feel that we are in that the ground above us won't give in. So what we did is that we had this Docker file, the reproducible one we showed before, and we just create a CI job which would run a build command every night and will make sure that the image will always match the digest. And at some point we were kind of bored with it because nothing failed, And then, something did. And imagine our surprise, this is not supposed to happen. It's mostly a sanity check, and a couple of weeks in, you just stumble on this thing. What was it? At that time, when our CI tests run, BuildKit 0.20 had a regression. It added a small variant field in the manifest, and it's a very inconsequential change, but it changed the bit-for-bit reproducibility that we strive for. We filed immediately a bug report, and the BuildKit maintainers fixed it very fast, and we're thankful for that. But if we weren't reproducing this very image, and this was out longer, and people didn't notice, there will be images that could be reproducible with that particular version of BuildKit, and like once that bug will be fixed, they wouldn't be able to be reproducible again. They will have to be, the BuildKit version will have to be pinned to that buggy, let's say, version. So we have collected lots of tooling and some workflows over the last year where we're doing this, and I wanted to show you here some, like, we have a repo which you can do it, which you can see it below, where we basically, what we did is that we created scripts for all the common mistakes that we did over this last year in order and to be able to do some stuff more easily, to verify images more easily, etc., so that people don't need to encounter them again and again and again. The main thing that this repo offers is a Python script. It doesn't have any dependencies. It pins BuildKit to a specific version solely to make sure that nothing changes, and also compares it with the latest. We'll see that later. It informs some strict build parameters. And it's supposed to be used both with Docker and Podman CLIs. And I'm not using the cooler variants that are out there, because at the end of the day, what's the goal? The goal is not for us developers only to reproduce that image. The goal is to make it easier for any semi-technical person or a person who is not that well-versed in the container ecosystem to just have a way to reproduce an image. And those people may be in a Windows laptop, in a macOS laptop, etc. We also bundle this as a GitHub action, we have made it so that it's a drop-in replacement for the Docker build push action, at least for simple builds. A drop-in as in you need to also define a source data epoch, but other than that, the interface is the same. And what's interesting, and hopefully will be very helpful, is that we also have a workflow, an action again, which does the following. It can build your image, it can build your project, an image from your project locally, and then you can pass it either a target image that you have pushed somewhere, even the latest branch of that image, so that you can check that the tip of your main branch matches to the latest tag of your whatever registry you're using, or you can just pin it to a specific digest and make sure that that's the exact same thing all the time. And that thing is something you can easily run nightly. It should be a small change. We are also eating our own dog food in this repo, and we are building nightly Bookworm and Trixie images, and we offer them so that you can use them for testing purposes, ideally, because it's not super tested, but the point is that you should be able to reproduce them independently. And we still reproduce this very little digest that helped us find the bug in the first place. With that said, there are still some stuff to do. While working on this, we realized that if people want to reproduce your image, they need to know what was the environment, like if a year after this image is out, they need to know what's the environment, and they need to know what were the instructions you used in order to build that image. How many people will know that you use this repro build script? So ideally, it should be self-described. What we also believe that is very critical in order to have a healthy ecosystem and be safer, is to have something similar that Debian is doing and the rest of the Reproducible Builds project, which have like a, some sort of registered packages, in their case, images could be in our case, where they are continuously monitored for regressions and we can see if there are if the reproducibility percentage falls or increases. And finally, we would like some improved ergonomics for this thing for multi-arc and complex build pipelines. So that's all from me. Thanks a lot for listening. And here's the links for the project and the brief summary of what we discussed. Thank you.
Questions?
Hi, thank you for the talk. This is exactly what I was looking for. My question is, do you know if there's any effort, the Docker file, if you want it to be reproducible, half of our file is now just this, enabling snapshot repo, removing logs, etc. Is there like any base image that would have this all pre-enabled or make it easier?
An image that has this, ouch. An image that has those things, the snapshot repos, etc. baked in, you said, right?
Yeah, an image that would pre-enable the snapshot repo, that would not log anything like with app install, etc.
Yeah,
do you think it makes sense?
It does make sense. That's the images that we are offering. They are the ones you see there that we showed before pre-enable the snapshot repo. They do not do something about logging, so that's something you need to remove on your own. But to be fair, from my experience, this is like just the tip of the iceberg. Even if this existed, there are so many things other than that that you need to figure out at some point, because you're bound to hit into other limitations. So what I want to stress here is that it's good to have an image which has this pre-configured, but it's much more important to make it easy to do this build, check, diff, and then have this thing. So yeah.
How slow is it for non-reproducible builds? Like, what's the performance cut you have?
How slow it is for the performance?
Yeah, like the non-reproducible builds, how fast they are on the
Because because we rewrite the layers in order to set the source data epoch, this creates definitely an overhead. This creates an overhead when you rewrite the layers for the epoch. It's not as fast as regular images, that's for sure. But there are other reasons you are doing that, in theory.
Thank you.